We'll be talking about nakedness for a bit, but this is an all-ages discussion because the focus of the discussion is a grain, barley, specifically naked barley. Barley usually comes with a husk or hull that takes some work to remove. Unless it's got a mutation that allows that cover to come off easily, it makes the barley naked, and that makes it easier to use. Oregon State University, deep into the agricultural sciences, is working on uses for barley along with lots of other farm products. Let's hear about the uses of naked barley. Patrick Hayes is a barley breeder in the OSU College of Agricultural Sciences. Thanks for joining us today, Pat.
Well, thanks so much, Jeffrey.
Give us a sense, first off, naked or not, how important and versatile barley can be.
Right. So barley is probably most widely known as the base of beer. It's, of course, hops and water and yeast certainly get top billing there, but the base is barley in a malted form. And barley is also a very healthy food as part of a whole grain diet. It can help to reduce the incidence of troublesome things like type 2 diabetes and heart disease and obesity.
It's got something called beta-glucan in it. What does that do for us?
Right. So beta-glucan is a soluble dietary fiber, and it is found most notably in barley and in oats. And this soluble dietary fiber then is what is responsible for the healthful properties that I just mentioned, that is part of a solid and complete diet, then it can help to ameliorate some of those pathologies to the point that both barley and oats have a federal Drug Administration, FDA, approval for a heart-healthy health claim.
Given its healthful properties, is barley a little underutilized, Patrick? There's no Quaker barley. I can't remember the last time I actually had barley as part of a meal. I mean, is it a little underused?
Absolutely, yep. And so there's all kinds of efforts underway all over the world to get people to get more barley in their diet. I'd bring to listeners' attention a new cookbook that's out called Barley is Better, and you can pick that up. It's by Rosemary and Walt Newman out of Montana. We've got a number of recipes posted at our website, which is barleyworld.org. And groups in Canada have been actively promoting and developing all sorts of recipes, and listeners could find links to those on our website as well. You know, there is increasing availability here in the Willamette Valley area, for example. Hummingbird Wholesale of Eugene stocks barley in different forms in the bulk bins. Their flaked barley is an ideal oat substitute, and I'll admit to being biased here, but for me, oats get kind of gluey and, you know, sticky in the bowl. The barley flake, in contrast, retains its integrity.
Is it as good with brown sugar, though?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, but I got to confess that I'm a barley flake every day kind of guy, and I typically slice up some apples or a banana or something in it, and between the sort of native nutty flavor of the barley and then whatever the fruit's bringing, I can just say goodbye to the sugar.
I was going to ask you if it's a regular part of your diet, and it sounds like it is.
Yep, absolutely. Been doing it for a while. You know, after you want to practice what you preach, and certainly in the morning, the liquid forms of barley are not the way to go.
Liquid. Oh, right. Of course, yeah. The beer. Yeah, no beer for breakfast kind of thing. No substitute for the Quaker oats that way. Let's talk about what makes it naked then. I mean, naked barley apparently is not something it's something that is helpful to people who are trying to use barley, but what makes it naked?
Right. So the wild form of barley, the ancestral form of barley, is native to the Fertile Crescent, and it has an adhering hull. And that is that these organs called the lemma and palea actually stick to the seed. There's a gum, and a gene has been identified that actually leads to the formation of that gum and that hull sticking on there. And barley was domesticated probably 10,000 years ago, and that the hulled form is what predominated. However, there was a naturally occurring mutation that led to this sort of massive deletion. It's actually 17,000 base pairs of DNA are just gone out of the genome of barley that leads to a naked form. And so in some parts of the world, that naked form was selected, preferred, over the covered form, and most notably that was in the Himalayan region, also a little bit of an area in the Horn of Africa, and then later after the arrival of Europeans in the New World, then there was a foothold in the Andean region. So kind of a common denominator of all those areas where barley, naked barley, really took hold were that they were relatively harsh environments, and they were environments where wheat wouldn't do that well due to the harshness of the climate or the elevation, and therefore barley became the wheat substitute in those places.
It sounds like it's fairly natural for the Northwest then.
Well, absolutely, yep. And what we've tried to do with our research and with a new grant that we received from the USDA, what's called the NIFA Program for Organic Agriculture, is to try to get away from the dichotomy of naked barley being just for food and covered barley being just for beer, and saying, you know, you could use a naked barley for all of those purposes.
Patrick Hayes is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We are talking about naked barley. A mutation makes it be born without the glue that keeps the husk on, so makes it easier to process. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760. Any questions you ever had about barley and its uses, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So I want to make it absolutely clear here, because we get a lot of concerns about GMO crops. This is not a laboratory-created mutation, right?
Absolutely, yep. Naturally occurring mutation. As I said, it's a fairly large one. And interestingly, our deeper understanding of plant genetics has revealed that in many cases there are significant losses of large pieces of sections of DNA, sometimes wholesale duplications. But this is just part of the natural mutation process, and then these mutations can sometimes be selected by agriculturists if they confer some sort of advantage.
So do you have to kind of recreate the process all over again as a breeder? I mean, do you have to come in with barley that you know might have the recessive genes in sufficient number to be able to create a new crop? I mean, will it propagate itself, I guess, is the question.
Right. So it's what we call it's a simply inherited trait. It's a single gene, and you hit it there. It is recessive, being the loss of function. And so once you are a homozygous recessive barley plant, and you are naked and forevermore will be naked. And so if we cross it with a barley variety that is covered, say in a search to get better adaptation to our environments from the covered sort, it's relatively straightforward to select for the naked type. And then once you've selected for naked, it will be naked forevermore, unless there's some accidental cross-pollination or mechanical mixture.
So you mentioned there's a bit of a divide in thinking that the naked barley is good for food and the covered barley is good for beer. Is there any real difference in flavor, any difference in nutrients, anything?
Excellent question. In principle, no. That the hull is primarily hemicellulose and lignin, so insoluble fibers. And the reason that the hull has persisted and is the dominant form, if you will, is that it has a very valuable role to play in brewing, and that is in the first steps of brew. The barley malt is used to create what's called the wort, and so then that's the ground malt is added.
WORT, I want to point out, yeah.
Yeah, and so you've got water, and then there's a boil, and then you add your bittering hop and so forth, and then that hot liquid is drained through the bottom of the kettle in a step that is called lautering. And during that lautering process, the hulls serve as a natural filtration system. And so the lautering step of brewing is one that a brewer just does not want things to get stuck at that point, if you will, because it's just a real mess to get the liquid to flow on through. And so having a good set of hulls in here fulfills that function. So then you may ask, well, how can you use a naked barley in an application like that? And there's sort of two ways to go about it. The technical solution is to use what's called mash filtration technology. And this involves membranes and pumping the liquid through those membranes under pressure. It's a technology that's very green, and so it's less energy intensive overall than lautering, uses less water, and is quite a common practice in European breweries to be equipped with mash filters. here in the Northwest, Crux Fermentation Project, Full Sail, and then if we go a little further north, Alaska would be some examples of breweries that are mash filter equipped.
For a farmer, is there a particular advantage to planting naked barley versus, you mentioned it's a little hardier than even wheat in some places, and eastern Oregon is kind of wheat crazy. Is barley replacing it in some places?
Well, not yet. What we'd like to do is certainly give growers some options, and so the barley has some, any barley has some options over wheat in the sense that it is earlier maturing, and so you may get a little more drought avoidance that way, if you know, particularly with climate change and increasingly warm temperatures and volatile conditions, the more risk aversion a farmer can have, the better in terms of the crop maturity date. It uses less, requires less nitrogen fertilizer than wheat does, about 20% less. And the advantages with both covered and naked barley, of course, but you use the same equipment that you would to grow and process and clean other grains.
I did notice that there was a grant to the operation at the College of Agricultural Sciences a few years ago from the Oregon Wheat Commission. I would have thought the Wheat Commission would have been defenders of wheat to the death, but here they are funding some barley research.
Yeah, so in Oregon we have what's called a checkoff system, and so based on units of production, then when those are sold, then a percentage goes into a research fund, and there is a barley checkoff as well as a wheat checkoff, and the barley checkoff funds are administered by the Oregon Wheat Commission. And so, for example, I just met with them yesterday. They have a research review every year, and then we look at ways to allocate those checkoff funds to barley research. And the Naked Barley Project is part of our sort of overall portfolio of research investments here. And so the Oregon Wheat Commission funding has gone into the development of malting barleys, the with hulls, the development of the naked barleys for both food and multi-use purposes. And so they provide an essential piece of a very diverse research portfolio that we have.
Patrick Hayes is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, our barley breeder at the Oregon State University College of Agricultural Sciences. We're focusing on naked barley primarily. Cynthia and Talent sent an email in. She wants to know, is naked barley gluten-free?
Absolutely not.
Ah.
The gluten aspect of barley is, from the standpoint of a celiac, is not something that you want to even consider, because barley has proteins that have the same sequence of amino acids in the protein that elicits the celiac response. So definitely not gluten-free. If you visit with a baker, they'll say, well, barley doesn't have good gluten. And what they mean by that is that barley doughs lack strength and elasticity. So in a risen bread product, probably about the maximum that you can get in terms of barley inclusion is about 50%. So it plays very well with the wheat in those doughs and brings, you know, extra flavors and textures and things to the bread, but it's about a 50% max mix there.
So barley-only bread comes out more like gold ingots or something?
Yeah, exactly. So you can do some non-risen breads, and so you can get some brilliant biscuits and pancakes and that sort of stuff that does not involve, you know, a yeast rise that, you know, are just delicious and just fine.
Pat, you mentioned barley coming from the Fertile Crescent in Mesopotamia originally, so not native to the Americas in any way, shape, or form?
That's correct, yep.
And had people forgotten through history how to grow naked barley, or does it have a fairly continuous streak through agricultural history?
Yeah, so naked barley doesn't require really any other changes in planting or maintenance or harvesting as opposed to a covered barley. There can be situations with some varieties where they may be a little more susceptible to or have more challenges during emergence, and so they may not come up as well in cold, wet soils and so forth. But in principle, there's really no issue there as to whether or not you have a hull and then in the production system.
I'm looking at Barley World. I did visit there a bit yesterday. It seems to be there's quite a bit of enthusiasm about barley. Is there any other grain that seems to engender quite the level of enthusiasm that you have about barley at the moment?
Well, I'm so happy that you say there's a lot of enthusiasm here at the Barley Research Project. We're all real enthusiasts, and we hope that that's contagious. I guess, in full disclosure, that if my job assignment were petunias, I'd probably be just as enthusiastic about petunias.
I want to come back to one of the dietary benefits. Now, we have established that it is not gluten-free, but I'm really curious about the benefits you mentioned in for people who are living with diabetes and what barley provides for them.
Right. So first of all, consult with your physician and nutritionist because I'm a barley breeder and not a specialist in that regard. But in principle, what you have is a lower glycemic index with barley, and that has to do with the rate at which the body metabolizes the barley is going to be slower. And so you'd obviously have to exercise your same dietary precautions, and the focus would be initially and certainly principally on type 2 diabetes.
So this no spikes because it's a slower release.
Exactly, that would be the idea.
Well, that's really interesting. You mentioned the grant from the USDA. It was $2 million, including 3 years in 5 states. So you're looking for new varieties of naked barley through that grant? Is that the plan?
Well, sort of yes, and more. The focus of the project is multiple foci because it does involve the malting and brewing, food and feed uses, and so we're conducting research in all of those fronts. But we're also in each of the 5 states trying to kind of get that traction in barley usage, and it's to just get it out there. With chefs, with bakers, with animal feeders, with brewers, and at approaching commercial levels, so that they have stuff to work with. So recently, for example, just even before the grant got started, we produced enough of the buck barley that we had from the 2017 crop, malted that in our research malt house here at Oregon State University, and then partnered with Breakside Brewing in Portland, where they did a small-scale beer, and then put that on tap in their brew pubs.
And what was the beer called? Come on.
Well, it was called Buck Golden Ale.
Buck, not Buck Naked Golden Ale?
I think it was just Buck.
Okay, all right.
It might be Buck Naked Golden. Yeah. I've got a picture on the board, but, I guess I wasn't, you have to be careful, and we certainly don't approach this naked business from a prurient standpoint.
Right.
But just to say, hey, it's out here, it is naked, and naked is, in fact, not a sort of an invention or something of ours, but it is the genetically and botanically accepted term for being hullless. To say hullless gets into this, like, really weird grammatical complication, So if you are hullless, well, what if you are hulled? Does that mean that someone actively pulled the hull off? Or so, anyways, you can go down that road. And then to say huskless is, kind of even more complicated, and seems like you're not just being direct and to the point. And so hence we just use naked and covered.
Husk and hull used interchangeably in this sense?
Well, I think you get botanists that might dispute that, but certainly from the standpoint of there being something that encloses a seed, yeah, they can be considered synonymous.
Pat Hayes is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a barley breeder at the Oregon State University College of Agricultural Sciences. We're talking about naked barley. A couple minutes left if you'd like to join us. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So is there a test kitchen sort of attached to the work up there? I mean, are you looking for all sorts of new uses for barley in places it has not traditionally been used?
Absolutely, yeah. We're fortunate to have a colleague here, Andrew Ross, Dr. Andrew Ross, who is a cereal chemist, and as he likes to point out, he's a cereal chemist, not a cereal killer.
Right.
And so he might be accused of sometimes killing good baked products due to his diligent efforts to always add more barley to them. And so it is experimental, and some of them things turn out better than others. But in general, he has really pushed the envelope on all kinds of barley baked products. And so the Organic Seed Growers Conference is here at OSU on the campus this week, and tonight we're having a culinary tasting session, and some of Andrew's drop biscuits will be featured there.
Interesting. So what's it, just barley, or are there other grains in there too?
That is an all-barley biscuit, yep.
Huh.
So we'll be featuring, there's a culinary sort of a tasting piece of that conference, and we'll be featuring the biscuits, steamed barleys. Barley cooks very nicely in a rice cooker, for example, and so makes a a nice rice or bulgur sort of substitute. And then we'll also be featuring roasted barley tea.
Interesting. So I hadn't even thought about the about cooking it in a rice cooker, but is it a similar sort of cooking process to rice?
Absolutely, yeah. So in the rice cooker, you can put it on the brown rice setting and, walk away. One thing to point out about barley, naked barleys versus pearl barley. So pearl barley is barley that has had the husk removed through mechanical abrasion. And so when people think of like beef and barley soup, those are typically pearl barleys. You can, of course, pearl a naked barley to get a little bit of the hull off if you want to. What happens with a certain, once you've taken the pearling thing all the way to completion, you lose your whole grain status because you're grinding off the bran layer as well as the hull.
Ah.
What the pearling does, though, is it really accelerates cooking time because the hull on a naked barley is a little more impervious to water. And so there's a very easy way to get around that for the chef at home. And you take your naked barley and just put it in the blender for a very short period of time, just enough to kind of grind off the outer layer of seed, and then save that bran, just add it into your flour container, and then you can move it into your baked goods. And that will reduce your cooking time significantly.
So, Pat, what's a good place to start if somebody wants to try a barley recipe and they're not used to cooking with it? What would be a good form in which to buy it, and what would be a good recipe to put it into?
Right. So I would say start off with the barley flake for breakfast. You can't go wrong there. It is a fast cooker, and you don't get that gluey, stick-together oat thing, as I mentioned. I think probably the next place to go would be like a barley salad. And you can do the stovetop, or you can do it in the rice cooker, is just get the barley grain cooked and then mix that up with olive oil and take it in whatever sort of flavor direction you want to go. So if you want to go down sort of the pesto, sun-dried tomato kind of Mediterranean route, you can go there, or you can take it the other direction and add in some ginger and some sesame oil, a little bit of hot pepper, and sort of go down the Asian path. So there's a lot of, that cold barley salad is just a delicious complement.
Well, it must be a lot of fun working around food.
Oh, it is.
Patrick Hayes is a barley breeder at the Oregon State University College of Agricultural Sciences. We've been talking about naked barley, a mutation that just makes it a bit easier to work with, and all sorts of work going on to find new uses for barley as well. Pat, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey.
All right, take it easy.